Hello, Sunshine. This is Dr. Stacey Ann C. Grant, the founder of Destiny Designers University and the Faithpreneur Movement. Faithpreneurs are faith-based entrepreneurs with a fidelity to God in organizing, managing, and operating their businesses, and or faith-based professionals looking to add another stream of income to their personal economy. I'd like to welcome you to our Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call podcast. These are weekly recordings of our Saturday fellowship where we've been sharing our prayer requests and praise reports in a safe, loving, and supportive environment for over a decade. Welcome to the family, and I pray that you are encouraged and continue in your faith walk.
And I'm part of the Congressional Black Caucus Annual Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C., and we're in the middle of the healing. It's a day of healing breakfast that's a part of the festivities every Saturday of the conference. So I stepped out to make sure that we could open up our call. Seems that we have a little bit of challenge on the conference line. We're not sure if it's the weather pattern that's going through that's causing a hiccup. So for those who will be catching this replay, we want to apologize for the connection challenge with our conference line. But thank God Clubhouse is still operational and we are able to connect here this morning and just give God glory. So with that being said, I want to take this chance and this opportunity to just say happy birthday to all of you who are enjoying the beginning of you-know-what season. It's Libra season. It's about to go down. Y'all know I get out of control from this time forward because a couple of weeks is a big day. But there's so much that I want to give God thanks for. There's so much that's going on in the world, in our individual lives. But God continues to show himself to be God. Today, the praise and worship, they tore down the place here in this convention center, just giving God praise. You know, for this, we give God praise. Oh, my Lord, the Alpha Street Baptist Choir sang, and they were on fire this morning, and my dear friend Dr. Gina Stewart is about to deliver the word. So I'm just grateful for the space and the covering in governmental areas where we can break strongholds, where we can stand up unapologetically in the truth of the word of God and be able to hold on to what God said, because what he said he will do, he's not a man that he would lie. And walking in the season of exercising your faith muscle in a different way, using your faith language. For those who listen to those sermons that I recommended from the International Faith Conference, you understand about taking it to the whole next level. So I'm just, there's so much on my mind and my heart, and because I have the noise and having to go back in, I'm not going to be able to stay on long. But I want you today to just think about two things. One, how do you continue? Because this is a message that's been universal from all the ministers that I listen to. And I don't know about you, but I love feasting on the word. And I can listen to sermons almost all day long. It's playing in the background. But everyone from Dr. Tubman from Potter's House to Pastor Hannah in Chicago to Apostle Eckhart. I mean, you name it, every minister that I can think of that I follow has been talking about this opportunity for us to exercise our faith. Pastor Joel Tubman was preaching on the ramifications of faith. Ooh, that one is a good one. It was Wednesday night Bible study. For those of you who love to go on the internet and grab it and listen to it while you're moving about, just go to the Potter's House YouTube and look for Pastor Tubman from Wednesday night. But the universal theme in this season, as I was sitting this morning, I'm like, Lord, you keep bringing this back for a reason. You're bringing it back because in this particular high holy days and Jewish faith and just everything that we see happening around us, you're reminding us not to look around but to look up and to walk in the faith, because faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So there are a lot of things that everyone has been holding on to, standing in anticipation of, and this is your push through. It's like that delivery for those who have had children. When you get to that last point and you go into labor, it's painful. You know that the baby's coming out. You just really don't know how it's coming out, let me tell you from experience. But you know it's going to come out. But that push, that last push is when the baby actually comes out. And all of us that are gathered in this Basin Orb VIP prayer room, we've been holding on to different levels and layers of what God is birthing and delivering you. So let's make the last push into the new of how we close out 2023 strong. So be encouraged and know that we fellowship together to remind each other of the truth of God's word, to remind each other that no matter what it looks like, are we going to look at the circumstance or are we going to look up to the God who has already done it? And something Pastor Joel Tubman said that we talk about all the time in this room, you have to decree it that it is already done. You're already healed. You're already debt free. You're already restored in your relationship. You're already walking in what God has for you. So I want you to decree today what is already done, not what you're waiting on God to do, what you're anticipating he will do, but standing in the truth of saying it is already done, because it breaks in the spiritual before you see it manifest in the natural. And that is my prayer blessing for each and every one of you today. So be encouraged, as I will be here trying to listen in quietly. And I thank D. Jason Hodge and my husband, Andrew, for holding down the fort for me so that I can be able to keep this space open and available for us to fellowship. So I love you all. There's nothing you can do about it. And Jason, if you're able, I'm going to go on ahead and turn it over to you.
Oh, I was sitting there looking for the Wednesday Potter's House link as you were talking, and just seeing like, okay, I don't see the Wednesday posting, but
I will send it so you can drop it in the chat, honey, because it is a powerful word.
Good. Well, all right, y'all. So welcome y'all to the call. You know, we are here doing our thing and, you know, moving through all the technical stuff, and that's how we do. We just continue to move forward. And we know this, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for the called according to his purpose. So anytime that we see a hiccup, we see it as a hiccup. God knows it as a divine plan. So we're just going to keep it moving. So we have on the stage today with us Carmen Welch herself. Hey, sis, how you doing? Dr. Smile as well. How you doing, sis? I'm going to open up and say, all right, Carmen, the mic is yours. Where are you calling in from, sis? What you grateful for? What do you want to share this morning? I know you got a lot.
I do. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with some sinus issues this morning, so if I sound a little weird, I'm just, you know.
You sound great, sis.
To God be the glory. Good morning, family. I'm calling in from Houston, Texas, and I'm going to keep it a little short this morning. I'm actually getting prepared to go to a homegoing celebration for a friend, Sean, lost his life, 32 years old. So I'm headed to church this morning to celebrate his life. He was, well, we don't know, but he was killed. He was shot. Don't know if he was targeted or if it was just a random drive-by, but, so keep, the Reagan family, Karen Riggins is my friend from my church. Keep them in prayer and look it up. So I'm just grateful to be able to say good morning, you know, and to be able to have this time with you all every Saturday morning. It's like Christmas morning to me every Saturday to be able to spend time and share with my family. You all mean a lot to me. And, you know, I'm just thinking next Saturday I'll be going to another homegoing celebration for another friend. It was actually her granddaughter, but she raised her daughter, who was also, they originally thought it was a suicide, but it looks like it may be murder. Friend. So, 26 years old.
Wow.
And I'm just, you know, I'm heavy, y'all. Y'all know I just buried my niece last week. And just to see all these young people leaving here, you know, when we were growing up, we used to be our grandparents, even great grandparents. I remember my great grandmother. She was around when I was a kid, but nowadays it seems like a lot of younger individuals are leaving here. And so you know, it brings a heaviness to you to see such young life and talent. The young man that was burying today was a single parent father raising his four boys on his own. So now, you know, his grandmother, my friend, has short-term taken responsibility for a few of the kids. And so that's a lot of work being a grandmother and now having to raise a 12 and 13-year-old child. So keep the Riggins family in prayer. But that's what I'm grateful for, y'all, just to be able to have this fellowship, have this family. I'm not crying yet, y'all. But, you know, I know I will be because of the heaviness later. But, yeah, I'm just grateful to be here this morning. I love y'all. I'm going to be on my mic. I'm Carmen M. Herrera, also known as Carmen Wealth of Entrepreneur, and God's Economic Ambassador.
Condolences, sis. Real quick, you said that four boys, two of them are with the grandmother, the 12 and the 13-year-old.
Well, three, actually.
Oh, three.
Are going to be with the grandmother. The younger, which is 6 months old, will be with the mother, but the, like, back-to-back, 10, 12, 13, they're with the grandmother, and that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. They had to fly them back from, she lived in Vegas, and so they flew them back to Houston. So now they went, my friend, the grandmother.
Okay. Wow. Okay, we will definitely keep the Riggins family. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, mm-hmm. I put them in the chat area for us to keep in prayer. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, sis. We will definitely keep them in prayer. We're going to pray before this call ends today for the Riggins family, for you, for your friends, for the service, the whole deal. Wow. Okay. Thank you for that share, sis. And condolences. We're sending our love to you and all of that. All right. Dr. Smile.
Hey. I think I'm like Carmen. Good morning. Y'all are loved, appreciated, celebrated, valued, and most cherished. I won't give the portions, but there was a suicide. So Jason, add to the prayer list the Houston family. She was a ripe 92 years of age. And then the ABA family. That's how you spell it. ABA family that was a suicide of a 35-year-old in front of his wife. And then I just want to share that I'm so grateful for. I have re-entered myself into a grief share program on behalf of Ladrine. She's not here this morning, but I'm hanging out with her church going through grief because it's been a lot for the last year, and coming to find that best friends are a whole different kind of category. But I wanted to share that God is on our side. And in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." And, you know, we've got to remember, no matter what we face each week, that we don't have to face it alone, that God is with us. He's working powerfully in our life. The word working and working, when we think about the Greek word, is the word energio. And I love that word. And I don't know, Jason, did I pronounce it right? E-N-E-R-G-E-O, energio, like energy. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right.
I don't know, but we're going to go.
I'll text it to you. But as I was looking up, you know how the Holy Spirit guides you when you're doing your study time. But it means it's the word energy, mm-hmm. and God is the energy driver of our lives. And we have to remember that when we feel deflated, that his love inflates us, you know, and we don't have to rely on willpower, but rely on the truth of God's word. And that willpower isn't enough, that it has to be the presence of God residing in us. God's energy is transforming us from the inside. And that means that he gives us the right desires of our heart. And I think that's in one of the Psalms, you know, the desires of our heart. So I just am so thankful, community, and people who feel like they don't want to connect or they feel like they're a hindrance. I pray that, you know, in 1 John, it talks about one another, the love of one another, that if people will get out of that, you know, I'm an introvert or, just connect, because we are the members. We are puzzle pieces that make up his love. We are puzzle pieces that I would say that take care of all of the fruit, fruit of the spirit. You know, somebody needs a little kindness, somebody needs a little gentleness, somebody needs a little faithfulness, somebody needs self-control. So since God is for us, there is no challenge that we can't overcome, and God is bigger than any of our problems that we will ever face, and he can overcome any toxic relationship if we would just do the SOAR factor, which SOAR, it means surrendered, obedient, abiding radically. When we just don't know what to do, go into our Psalms, create your playlist, or ask Dr. Stacy if she'll share hers, you know, be able to go into the Word or hang on to your most favorite scripture that gives you strength, that you can, if you had your eyes closed, you can see somebody pumping air into you to just inflate you from feeling deflated. So you are loved, appreciated, celebrated, valued, most cherished. And y'all go to my Facebook. Some of y'all who know me, go to my Facebook. Y'all have been praying for years for the relationship of my brother and I and my sister. Well, the sister part is much better. We're talking almost every day. Continue to pray for the brother, but her name is Carolyn, K-A-R-O-L-Y-N. And if y'all, she's a September baby. If y'all will talk any way you can, I'll copy it and paste it and let her know that people are just sending her some love and saying happy birthday. You are loved, appreciated, celebrated, valued, and most cherished. I call out Jehovah Kail over your lives for worship, wisdom, wealth, virtue, honor, power, influence, favor, and army rising up in all of you. Have a God amazing Saturday. Thank you. And I yield the mic, but know I always have a voice.
And since you said her name is the birthday?
Carolyn, K-A-R-O-L-Y-N.
All right. Okay. So.
Thank you.
It just sent her a happy birthday in the chat. All right. Awesome. Awesome. I see we've got Stacy on the floor. Stacy, welcome, sis. Oh, actually, I see that. I see that she said she'll be right back. Okay, good stuff. Okay, we've got Jason Kinte on the floor. Welcome, bro. How you doing?
TJITD, thank God it's a decade. I'm 8.9 out of 10. Thanks. I reserved 9 and up for the wedding night, assuming I get it right. If I don't, I won't tell you. And, you know, it's on my mind because I'm 46 and still waiting for marriage. I think I actually at least found somebody that I'm interested in, and I'm moving to Georgia. So, I appreciate you all. You know, I actually just recently remembered, you know, when I went to the psych ward the first time in 1998, I've been to the psych ward 4 times. My dad went more times. It was with the dream I'm living now. So I'm president of Dream Livers Club Incorporated. We're operating as PennsPowerClub.com this decade, Dream Livers Club next decade. And my dad, was a scholarship winner from Antigua. And he got depressed because when he got laid off from his job, you know, he drove taxi the last 25 years of his life, and he tried to hurt himself twice. So that's why I was definitely going to be an entrepreneur, because, you know, I didn't want the same thing happen to me. And interestingly enough, I had, you know, faced racism in corporate Canada as well. But, you know, when I did, I hired myself and I put together my book course, and you know, and I couldn't sell it. So I sold my investment property for $1 million. And I never really intended at first, you know, I didn't care about money. I just cared about God. But my dad was, you know, instructing me when I wanted to do international development studies. You know, he told me, well, why? I said, I wanted to go over to Africa and help, you know, the Ethiopian famine was going on in the 80s. And he said, well, if you want to help the poor, you know, don't be another poor person. Why don't you work, study business, and then you could go over to, you know, you could be like Bill Gates, essentially. So it's a good thing I honor my father, because I realize that's my God's plan for my life. So I worked at Microsoft, and now I get to do the billion-dollar plan, essentially, to skip to the end. And so I already am a millionaire at 46, and now I realize that's why God withheld the marriage promise, and you know, so I could be a millionaire first and get somebody that's that I could provide for at that level. And now I set the billion-dollar goal by 2030. It took me 12 years from the time I started the Dream Decade Challenge in 2010 to become a millionaire. Well, at least that due to exit and realize it. And it's going to be 12 years from 2018 when I incorporated Dream Livers Club that we have the goal of having a billion-dollar valuation. So I'm starting to release my tracks. And I'm moving to Georgia. So I'm just saying that in case anybody lives in Georgia, just want to start connecting with some people, some faithpreneurs that are in the States, because, you know, I'm from Canada. It's a country above you that loves you. We have to love you. You could attack us. I'm going back to, I have to do like Jim Carrey, actually. Prophets are not without honor, say within his own house. I kept getting escorted out of universities in Canada, even though I've never even said an F word, but I got escorted out of Ontario Tech University last week. And that's why I said, I dust myself, my feet off, you know, and I'm working on getting on this tour, the university tour. So I'm auditioning for it. And I have my interview Tuesday. So I'm praying I get that. They go and speak at Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And I'm a scholarship winner, just son of a scholarship winner. So, you know, I'm praying I get that. And then I get to go on tour in the States. Dave Chappelle is on the higher level on this tour. So I'd love to do that. This is the highest level tour worldwide at universities. So I'm really excited. Some of the things that I've been dreaming about since I started reading the Bible, December 1st, 1986, are starting to come true. So thank you all for letting me talk this, Jason.
Thank you for that share, bro. Thank you for that share. And we'll definitely keep you in prayer. Congratulations on all of that. And, you know, beautiful thing is that God knows how to lay out the path for his children. So keep on moving according to his steps. Thank you for the share. Stacy, welcome, welcome. Let's see if you are back. All right. Okay, so I'm going to send an invite to everybody down in the audience. And this is not a press. It's just to let you know that we see you and you are more than welcome on the stage to share your value today, and we would love to have you up here. All right. Welcome, Darren. How you doing, bro?
Come on. Give me a couple of minutes. I'll be right in a couple of minutes.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'll be long.
Okay, and for those of you who got a double invite, this is not a press again. It's just that the as folks get on the stage, then faces move in the audience beneath. So that means that you may have gotten hit twice. So just understand that was not intentional. All right. I see we've got the factoring lady, hey, sis. Pat, mic is yours. Okay, and I don't know if the app is glitching. It looks like it's glitching on my side. Patricia, if you can unmute your mic, you can speak. If not, we'll move on to Dr. Viva and then circle back to you.
Good morning. Peace and blessings, everyone. I pray that all is well. I haven't, I guess I've been in a room, but last week I missed you all. Because I went out celebrating on Friday night and it was late. But I just thank God for his and mercy, and I want to give honor to. I came in this morning because I got home late from D.C. To Madam Gwen. I'm not sure if she's here or in her absence. I just see her picture there. But I was just down with my sorority, with some advocacy, met some new sorors and stayed a couple of days. I really, really enjoyed myself. And I just thank God just for the ability to do those things, to connect with like-minded people. And I thank God for answered prayer also on multiple levels. And I've been focused on my healing process and being consistent. And I put a link in the chat also about my room I do on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Healing for the Helper. I put the link in the chat for the replay. So you all here in the room can listen to that. And that room is, you know, us helpers. And the things that we're involved in may receive some vicarious trauma or harm, not intentional, but unintentional, just because of our empathy. So I'll put that link there. But, you know, I have shared previously about things that I've been experiencing. Well, I have experienced. I'm sorry. I became conscious about in regards to my father and my daddy issues. And just for those who have not heard it, it's not, I had a very good relationship with my father. I'm a daddy's girl, but I realized I had issues of abandonment because he transitioned from my life when I was so young, and it was more than 30 years before I visited him at the cemetery. But these past two Tuesdays, because I'm teaching in my hometown in Patterson, and I went to visit with him and talk with him. So I made a plan to every Tuesday while I go to Patterson to take some time out and visit with my father to really be intentional about my healing, because it definitely was a burden. And, you know, I just want to get to the level that my heart doesn't feel burdened no more. And it's, you know, my abandonment issues. Or I'm healed from that. So that is my goal. I thank all who pray for me in regards to that. But God is definitely a healer. And when we seek him, he will provide us with the resources that we need, because the Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So continue seeking God for what you want and just trust him where you can't trace him. But please keep in mind, you can't tell him how to answer your prayer. I have learned that over and over again. He will answer. He will give us the desires of our heart, but it'll be in a way that we didn't even think. But thank God for that. So that's my share this morning. And it's great to see you all, Jason, and hear you on the mic. And just to be back with you all and Carmen and Dr. Smile and so I yield my mic and y'all be blessed.
All right. Thank you, Doc, for the input there. And yeah, you know what? That daddy's piece it's a powerful one. And, you know, being on that journey, it's a blessing as you're walking that out, because it does connect to so many things. I've been listening to some training around that for the past few years. Just the impact that fathers have in our lives. And I can attest to it, you know, and it is important that we do move through those things. So that is a blessing. So encouragement on your journey. Thank you for that share. And yes, absolutely. Okay, we've got Shanice. I hope I said your name right.
Yes, Shanice. I was encouraged to come to the stage, but just as she was sharing, I just wanted to share what the Lord was speaking to me this morning during my prayer time. He was saying that he is a repairer of the breach. And so there are so many things that causes breaches to our hearts, you know, growing up as children or just in life period. And so my prayer on today is that anything that has caused a breach in our life, whether it was, you know, abuse, whether physical, verbal, sexual abuse, abandonment, feelings of rejection, anything that we've experienced in our lives that have caused heart wounds and things that have come in where the enemy is able to come into our souls and tell us lies and feed us all type of things that are contrary to what Christ says we are. And, you know, my prayer on today is just that we will know who we are in Christ Jesus and know that he is a repairer of the breach. So those breaches have been covered by the blood of Jesus on today, and everything that Christ did on Calvary, we just declare and decree on today that we receive healing. healing. We receive freedom, and we're going to walk. I declare that we're going to walk in victory on today. And from this day forward, in Jesus' name, that's just what I wanted to share.
Baruch Hashem. Amen. Thank you for that share. Really appreciate it. And it's so important. Let's check Darren out. Yes, thank you, Shanice. Thank you. Okay, I see Stacy, you're back. If you are.
Good okay. morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, blessings. This has been such a powerful place of communion with all of us just coming together and believing God for what he is capable. So I just want to put up a prayer for each and every one of us to see God through it all. So to keep our eyes on God, circumstances are and will be. That's going to happen all the time that we are here. But our workout is in our faith in him and trusting him, the workout, the trust workout. And I'm not saying these things from a place of it's just a good thing to do and it's what we read. I've had to walk this out. So I pray that this encourages someone. Last year in April, I had an aneurysm. I've had 3 brain surgeries since then. And God miraculously did a healing in me. But my family had to witness me with tubes coming out of my head. They had to witness the doctors coming in and telling them that I was not going to live. And no one had ever lived through that. That was actually the medical truth. But then God said, and then there was the truth, which is what he said. And because he said that, I am here. So I pray that as each and every one of us face various things that will come, that we remember that nothing, absolutely nothing can or will be unless God gives permission. So that's where the trust workout comes. We don't understand. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. But he is trustworthy. He knows what he's doing in and through it all. So may we have the strength. May we be encouraged by one another. May we cry together. May we hold each other up. May we strengthen each other in words and deeds and serve each other as we go through the fight. We are warriors through Christ. And he told us in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The key is he strengthens us. It is not our strength. So may we be there and encourage each other, pray for one another, hold each other up. I'm going through various attacks right now, but I said, all eyes on God. So God, give me the strength to be less of me and all of you, none of me and all of you, God, through the things. Let me not look at the circumstances, but keep my eyes on you. That's not easy. That's a workout. Sometimes I do it well. Sometimes I fall short. But each time I get up to try again, each time. So I just pray that strength for each and every one of us as we navigate everything that life brings. And life is going to continue to bring us things until the time that God calls us home. And that's because he has a purpose and he's cultivating a thing in us so that we can do his will in the land. And I yield my mic.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that share. You know, and that is so important. I was sitting here and, you know, as you were talking, and I'm going to drop this link into the chat. And this is for the Webster's 1828 dictionary under the word rejoice. You know, when the word tells us to rejoice in the Lord always again, I say rejoice. I'm going to dive into that a little bit. I'm going to let Darren speak and then Patricia. And then I want to dive into that real quick because, you know, how the word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's something that is very intentional about that word. You know, when we're called to joy, it goes more than our emotions. And so what you were just talking about right there, Stacy, really does tap into that, because despite what the doctors were saying, you and your family were saying something different. You were standing on a different word, a different reality. Your truth was completely different from what their diagnosis, their prognosis was saying. And that's because you have a different blueprint that you're living your life by. So praise God for that. Let's go to Darren real quick and then to Patricia.
and then we'll move into that word right there. So, Darren, welcome.
Yeah. Well, good morning, family. This is Darren Smith, Baltimore, Maryland. Grateful for life, God in my life, family, friends, colleagues, associates, extended families, to me and mention, especially this one, roof over my head, a little something in the kitchen, good health and strength. Yeah, I'm not gonna train down a second. So just grateful for being here. I think I mentioned before, it's my favorite time of the year. The weather's getting cool. And that's just real cool because we had some of us on the East Coast, we had this little storm that came through early this morning. It looked like it may have passed through, which is good. So, and I think Stacey must have not looked at some of my notes because when we talked, this is actually from last week. We didn't get a chance to read a fellowship last week too much, but whatever we're going through, and God, He already knows, we have to trust Him. And that was the subject of last week, trusting God in uncertain times. And with everything that's going on in the world today, this is not uncertain. I don't know what it is. I mean, I can't get no, as my friend would say, gooder than this. I hope not anyway. So we'll put it in the chat, for everybody to see. It's Isaiah 45, verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. I take those. So I know He's always in control, even though with everything's going on, He knows He's in control. So, I mean, we know it, of course, He knows it. But we just have to, just trust Him. I mean, it's funny, this might be a bad analogy, but even on our currency, back of it says, in God we trust. I mean, I'm sorry, this is a bad analogy, but I just have to think about that when I'm thinking about trust. So we just have to trust Him, everything that we do. We will go through things, as most of us know, that's by if you haven't gone through something, either you have gone through it, you're in the middle of it, or if you hang around long enough, something's coming around the corner. So just don't be discouraged. So that's my share for today. And I'll be here for a minute. Love you guys, and I'll yield my mic. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Patricia, welcome. Let us know if you are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry, I'm driving, so hopefully the reception's clear. I wanted to say what I'm grateful for and what I'm believing God in. And first of all, I'm grateful to be part of this group and for you all, my prayer warriors, my family. I'm thankful for God's answered prayers. I am going on, I just finished week 3 of my new job that God has blessed me with. Those that were on the call when I had asked for prayer, I didn't ask God that He gives me the job. I was asking God for God's will to be done. I like what Dr. Viva was saying. And so it's a full circle moment for me. I've been in the financial industry over 30 years. 25 of that has been in banking. And I used to work at this institution, so I got a 14-year tenure. So it is a full circle. However, I am asking what I'm believing God in is that I'm going to do well. It is a 90-day intense training program. So right now I'm trying to put blinders on for everything and just focus on God and my training. And some of my peers, my coworkers, my mentor that I've been assigned to, these people are my son's age. My boss is young. Everybody there is young. It's very diverse environment, so they do have people, mature people as well, but you're never too old to learn. So again, I'm believing God that I'm going to be a I'm not going to lie. I do have some anxiety and nervousness, and so I have to remember that God has me in his hands, and all will be well. I guess the anxiousness is because I want to do so well. I want to do good, and I don't want this to not go through, because obviously you got your probation period. I will say this. The income level is at my base is more than I was when I was in banking before. So that's kind of the cherry on top. But and I'm also praying that I'm in believing God. Sorry, you have to rephrase it. I'm believing God that the things that I was doing during the pandemic does not go to the side. In other words, the factoring lady was born during the pandemic. I started doing things that were in my heart and my passion, which is in the acting and modeling area. Obviously, that's not what's paying the bills, but that's what gives me joy. And so I'm praying that none of that interferes with my day job. So I am a career woman and an entrepreneur, solopreneur, and I want to continue to do that. And the last thing that I want to say, some of you may remember that I had talked about believing and being debt free. I'm still like a dog with a bone with that. I moved out of my apartment on August 30th, and I had talked about move. I had a plan, even if the job came through or didn't come through, which was to not pay this rent that was equivalent to a mortgage. And I had made a decision to stay with somebody, and I was going to pay them a certain amount, which was very nominal, to allow me to pay a lot towards my debt. Well, I can't explain it, but I had paid the person the money, and I started moving some stuff in. But on Labor Day, my husband and I were, because I still communicate with him, as some of you know, I had separated 2 years ago, and 2 months to be exact. And I moved back in. And even though I had already paid rent, and I know this, it makes no sense. So I am believing, I'm not asking for God to say, oh, this marriage is healed. I know that may sound stupid to some people, but there was some toxic things going on in terms of the relationship. So he does have some health issues. So all I can say is sometimes things don't make sense, but I feel like that's where I need to be right now. It was a last minute choice. I'm only like 15% moved in, and I am today going to a open house for a fashion designer. And these are things that he doesn't support, right? But I'm gonna still do it because that's in my heart. So I know this sounds like a lot of rambling, and I apologize for that. But I am believing that God's will be done, including my marriage. And when you are married to somebody for that long, family's family, you have children and you have grandchildren or grandchild, you know, and you love somebody, and like Dr. Viva said about her relationship with her father, you know, family's family. And whether there's toxicity there or not, you still love that person and you care for that person. So I'm going to yield my mic. I'm still going to my Saturday job, even though I don't economically need to do that, because I'm doing it because I promised God that I was going to continue to do that. Even though I don't have to do it, I'm going to do it because I promised God that I would, because as long as I can do it and it don't interfere with my main job. Thank you for the time and allowing me to express what's on my mind.
Awesome. Thank you for the share, and we will keep you lifted as well. All right. And so a quick question, going to send a link down for you all. Again, this is an invite to let you know that we see you. Sometimes we don't always have the opportunity or the ability to come up when the initial invite comes out. So just to let you know that the invite is still there. And there's a couple of things that, you know, I hear as a theme this morning. One in particular, and there's a scripture and it is Philippians 4. And I like to read the stack, Philippians 4, 4 through 7, when it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, or shalom, which is a very powerful word, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ Jesus." So, a couple of things. That rejoice piece, it is so intentional. And when we can stop, and I had a pretty amazing conversation with my oldest son just yesterday, you know, and some of you know that, you know, I am a single dad raising my boys. And, you know, there's some things that they are walking out right now just in relation with mom and all that, and trying to establish that relationship. And as we were talking, you know, my son had expressed some things that were on his heart. And the more we talked, the more we were able to unpack. And the portion of being anxious for nothing, just to be able to hear what it is that was going on with him, and for him to be able to hear my perspective on it, it gave that space to remove all fear out of the way, to really get down into the data and get down past the emotion into how to strategically and intentionally move through life. So why are we talking about this here? I heard a couple of folks talk about this, and one particular where when you talked about just dealing with the father issues, actually two. And Shanice, I appreciate your share when you were talking about that as well, and the prayer this morning on that. When we can move past our triggers and then really take in the information and then allow God to unpack things for us, it does more than just deal with our life right then. It deals with our life moving forward as well. And oftentimes when I do hear folks move into challenges of life and all of that, there is that portion where we don't always dive into what we perceive as the pain or the hurt or whatever that thing is that becomes the obstacles for us to move forward. And it's in being anxious for nothing, diving into it and saying, okay, Father, I'm in the midst of this situation, the reality, the acknowledgement of it, and I need you to move with me through this so I can see this thing through your eyes, through your lens, and understand it not from a place of pain, but a place of clarity. Because when he says in the word, the truth shall make us free, it doesn't say that it shall set us free. It says the truth shall make us free. That is a foundational statement. When we are standing on the truth and we know what is what from God's perspective, what happens is that now instead of the lack of a foundation, we actually have something to set up all of our responses, all of our thoughts, our lens, our viewpoint, our experience, and the narrative that we allow ourselves to hear moving through life. It's on a solid foundation because it's on truth. And it never said in the scripture, when the truth shall make us free, that it's a walk through a field of tulips afterwards. That's not what it is. And I think a lot of times what I've heard is that that has been put out there like, okay, we're free and now we live happily ever after. No, it is that now we have the information that we can base all the rest of our moves on, and it's not going to change. It's not going to shake. So what things do we find in ourselves that are triggers that we have not yet dealt with? That's a question that we have to ask ourselves, because we're in this season right now. We're moving into the season where, okay, so we're in the days of All right now. We are Yom Torah. You know, we're going into Yom Kippur. And there are some very specific things that happen during this time. And one of which is that we do a lot of reflective work. We do that deep dive to allow God to show us ourselves, to show us where we're missing him, where we have missed the mark, and also to lean on him for his grace in order to move us into alignment with his word and his will for our lives. And we can't do that when we're holding on to things that are false. So when we ask him to reveal to us who we are, what's going on, what our next steps need to be, and how we walk this thing out in him, our life out in him, our destiny and our purpose, we've got to do that from a very intentional and specific place so that we can make a sure-footed step. You know, he says that he is the light unto it, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. And I was listening to this one teacher talking about the significance of that, because the lamp, it illuminates only so much, enough for you to take the next steps, but it doesn't show you the whole thing. It doesn't show you all of the stuff that's in your path. And I think that there's a reason for that, because if we were to see with our carnal eyes and our mind that is still pushing into redemption, all of the obstacles, all of the demonic activity that is in front of us, we probably would be paralyzed and not take the next step. So when he says he's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, he is showing us just enough, just what we need to know in order to take the next step. And as we're taking the steps, he's going before us and clearing the path of all of the demonic activity, the obstacles, all of the things that would otherwise come against us. And as he strengthens us, and strengthens us in him to know who he is and whose we are and how we stand in him and the power that we wield in him, then it shifts our mind, it shifts our thinking, it shifts who we are in him. It actually brings us into who he's called us to be. And when that happens, our sight begins to see further, because we're no longer going by or being governed by what we see. You know, when he says that we walk by faith and not by sight, well, that faith walk is, I hear his voice, it tells me where to go, and I take the steps. And the more that we lean on that and not use our eyes as the determining factor of the steps that we take, because, you know, our eyes tell us something, then our mind gets involved in it, and then we start making adjustments. It's kind of like when he told Miriam and Joseph, or Mary and Joseph, hey, go here. And then they're like, hey, wait a minute, you know, that looks dangerous. So they went somewhere else instead. Okay, they made an adjustment. He already knew that they were going to make the adjustment. However, their adjustment was made because they didn't want to go into what they perceived to be a dangerous area. And how often do we get hesitant to make the move that God has told us to make because of whatever reason? Sometimes it's that we don't get up and say what it is that we believe God has put on our heart to say, because what if I mess it up? What if I flub it? What if I'm up there on stage or what have you, and I get embarrassed? And then that rejection wound comes up. I felt rejected, and therefore I don't want to feel that again. So I don't want to take the step because I may experience rejection again. So therefore, I am going to shrink back, hold my voice, not make the statement. I'm going to operate in this shyness or in this fear of quote unquote public speaking. It's not that you have a fear of public speaking. You have a fear of rejection. You don't like how it feels. And then you have not experienced what it is to be whole and to be owned by God. The conversation that I had with my son yesterday was, And this is just a little snippet of it. We were talking about validation. What does it look like when we are seeking external validation, as opposed to understanding that the fact that we are drawing breath, that is our value right there. God saw fit to breathe into our nostrils his breath of life. We breathe because he's breathing in and through us. He's put us here because we are valuable and we have a purpose. So when we are looking for things externally to indicate that we are valuable, we've already lost. We have to shift and understand that it's not what we do that creates our value. It's not what other people think of us that creates our value. We are valuable because we're here. There's nothing and no one that God created that does not have a purpose. And so if we can solidify in that and not look for an external, but understand that we come here with our value, then the way that we move, the way that we show up when it's time for us to show up is completely different. We're no longer looking at what are people going to think of me. We look at what is the purpose at hand, and then we move on that purpose. And I believe that as we are hearing this today, and folks who are listening to it on the replay, this little nugget right here, I mean, it's a game changer for everything. Because what happens is that when we do embrace that, that we are, it's like when you're in your family. Now, some of us may not have the best experiences in family, so we may have experienced certain traumas and whatnot. But for the most part, when we are dealing with our immediate family that we know we love, we understand that, yeah, we may have disagreements. However, we're not being rejected based on how we show up. We're just good like that. When we can do that in our life and carry that goodness, like good like that experience with us wherever we go, then we're able to deliver what God has given us at any time at the drop of a dime. Okay. So I just wanted to share that, and I want to share with you the definitions, because I think that as we unpack the definitions, it gives us a completely different expectation of what those words mean and why we need to be mindful of them. Okay, so when the word says for us to rejoice, right? Let's see. Okay, so I went into the 1820. I love this dictionary, by the way, and there's a link in the chat. So check the link out. It's a great thing to have on hand. The reason why I go to the 1828 dictionary is because I like to see the words before they were modernized and before words were changed in meaning. Because when the scriptures were written and when they were translated and transliterated and all of that, they had a specific reason why they chose the words that they chose. And if we don't understand what the words meant then, when they first did the translations, we may miss what it is that the scripture is actually saying based on their translation. And when you want to dive a little deeper, you go back to what was it saying in the Hebrew and the Aramaic, and then the ones that were, translated over into Greek and all that, like what did those mean? And that's a different word study. However, right now, when the word says for us to rejoice, right? Rejoice is to experience joy and gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, to exult. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So it's a verb. And it says to make joyful, to gladden, to animate with lively, pleasurable sensations, to animate. It's an amazing word. Okay. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoices his father. Okay. The next one, I was looking up exhilarate. Well, what does that mean? Because it talked about exhilarate in that definition. So exhilarate is to become joyful or joyous, cheerful. To make cheerful or merry, to enliven, to make glad or joyous, to gladden, to cheer. Good news exhilarates the mind as good wine exhilarates the spirits. Okay. It is something. And, you know, when I heard the word exhilarate and read it, I'm like, you know, that also sounds like, you know, that breath, you know, inhale. So I'm looking at this as when God said for us to rejoice, it wasn't based on our emotion. It is based on a choice. If we can choose how we move in Him and not be governed by our emotions, then that means even in the midst of sadness, Carmen is going through some things right now. She is going to support some families at her church. But for her to be able to bring joy in, even in the midst of what's happening there, that is going to be able to lift people's spirits and give hope. Because even in what seems to be the bleakest of times and moments, as we operate in the things of God, He brings joy into that area and He lifts the spirits. And then who knows who it is that needs that time, that divine appointment, for them to get their life right with the Lord. We are beacons of His light. We are kind of like moving lighthouses to keep people from crashing against the rocky shore. We shine His light. They see where He's at. They reach out to Him. He grabs their hand. That's the process. When we represent Him well as ambassadors, we represent the people in all these different formats. God is here, 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 here. Look at this personality type, this personality type, this personality type, this personality type. Each one of us are very uniquely made, and each one of us carry His light. So we've got to be understanding that He made us for a reason. Take your time unpacking the things. Ask God to hold your hand as you move back through what is defined as trauma. And understand, ask Him for the purpose. What was the purpose of this? What am I supposed to take from this? How can this be a part of a tool set that you use to glorify you, to win people to you, to point people in your direction? There's always a reason for it. My boys have gone through some things in relation to their relationship and all of that. I'm seeing how God has used that to grow them, but I'm also seeing when they're speaking to their friends and their friends are going through things, or to strangers. I was at a park with my youngest, and there was a child who was going through some pretty heavy things, and it was some stuff that my son had already gone through. And so my son was able to speak into this child's life. They were on the merry-go-round, and, you know, I was sitting there filming them. I didn't have an idea of the conversation that they were having. And at one point, they embrace each other, and they're going on the merry-go-round. I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And then he told me afterwards, he said, Dad, you know, that boy, he was going through these different things. And I was able to talk to him about what I experienced and what God was able to do. And I was like, wow. So I just want to encourage you all. Your life is not random. The things that you experience, it's not random. You experience them. And as you hold on to God, He's able to not only move you through that, but also to strengthen you and to then be able to take that same experience and to share it with somebody who may not have been strong enough to go through that. Sometimes you coming through your experience is the very thing that the next person is going to need so that they don't decide to take their life. And it's as serious as that. So take your time with your experiences. Ask God to show you, okay, so show me where you are in this, and then let Him teach you how to use that part of your narrative, of your story, to then speak into other people's lives, and not from a place of pain, but from a place of victory. Okay? All right. So, on that note, let's pray, because we want to pray for Carmen and the, hold on, I've got it all here in the list. Okay, so want to pray for the Riggins family, and we want to pray for the Houston family and the Abba family. Anybody else have prayer? You could pop it into the chat, or you can come on up on stage or open up your mic, and we will add that to the prayer list as well. All right, so Father God, we just come before you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. We just glorify you because you are sovereign. Everything that you do is perfect, and you have a way of revealing to us truth, the foundation that we must stand on. We ask that as we take this time to pray, we take this time to reflect, we take this time to go deep and to do the work in the roots of who we are and who we are in you, that you allow us to settle in you, Father, in a way that does surpass all understanding. Father, grant us your shalom, your peace, your covering, your strengthening, your containment. Grant us the insight and the infusion of your power and your grace and your mercy and your love. Grant us the connection, Father, and strengthen it in every area of our life. Every area that we have plugged into you, Father, has life, your life coursing through it. So teach us how to reconcile every aspect of our being to you, to give honor, to give glory, and to move in you and through you and because of you. Let us realize, Father, that every time that we leave our domiciles, our homes, every time that we make movements in this world, it is by your grace, your mercy, and your empowerment that we do that. So make us intentional in how we move, how we talk, how we think, Father. Make us intentional in what we come in agreement with. If it is not aligned with you, Father, give us the strength to denounce it, to cast it down. And what is of you, Father, give us the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge to embrace it and to understand how to use it, how to integrate it into our lives and into our way, into our being. Make us intentional even with every syllable that we utter, Father, because you said that we will give account for every idle word. So, Father, train our tongues not to be idle, but train it to be intentional and to command life. Command the life that you have already commanded. Let us be in agreement and in alignment with you. Father, as Carmen goes to this service, go before her. Let your anointing be upon her so heavy, Father, that it breaks the yokes and the shackles of those that she comes in contact with, that it precedes her and then it lingers after she leaves. Give her the words of wisdom that she can speak, that not only comfort, Father, but liberate the ears that hear her, that liberate those families that are going through pain and mourning, Father. Show up in a way where they can see you and that they can rejoice, they can choose to move in joy. You said that your joy is our strength. So, Father, allow us to pick up your strength daily and to move in your strength, in your joy. You said that you abide the praises of your people. You inhabit our praises. So, Father, teach us to praise you in the way that is acceptable to you. Father, we thank you and praise you for Roz. And although she had to jump out, you know what needs to happen where that's concerned. So we're going to pray for the families that she prayed for. I'm scrolling up. And Father, we ask that you cover those families, cover them in a way that is going to not only bring your light into their life, Father, the Houston family and the Abba family, Father, but touch them in a way that allows their speech to even draw people to you, Father. Remind them through their words that come out of their mouth, Father, that you're in control, always. Father, we thank you and praise you for Stacy's testimony this morning. Aneurysms, surgeries, 3 surgeries, prognosis from the doctors, and you showing up and saying, yeah, but I'm the master doctor. We thank you for keeping her on this side of life to deliver her story and also to walk in your victory. Father, whatever it is that she's going through currently, because she did say that there's some other things that, you know, she's moving through right now. Father, we ask that your hand be upon her so heavy, that your anointing fall so heavy. You said that healing is the children's bread. And so we just speak a word of healing into her right now. Father, if there's anything in her life that is the obstacle between her and you, Father, we ask that you remove it, you reveal it to her, that you obliterate it so that there is a clear, strong line of communication and connection between you and her. Give her the strength to raise her arms to you. Give her the strength to praise you in the way that it causes you to abide with her. Give her that insight, Father, in those words, the words of life. You said that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and them that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, Father, give her the words of life so that as she speaks, life proceeds out of her tongue, and that people feel those words of life and they're impacted by those words of life. Father, let her life now be a master magnet, a super magnet to draw all men to you. Teach her how to lift you higher, Father. Teach her how to raise you up. Because you said if we lift you higher, you will draw all men unto you. Teach her how to diminish that you can increase. Teach her how to move in your way, that every movement speaks and glorifies you, Father. Father, we glorify and magnify you for Jason being in here and the praise report that he gave, Father, and also the prayer that he asked for. Father, cover him, touch him, keep his way, keep his mind sound. Father, direct his path. Let him know what your plan is for him and how to move according to your will, your way, your word, that it pleases you and fulfills the purpose that you have called his life to be about. Give him everything that he needs, Father. Surround him with the right people, godly people, people who have that strong connection with you, Father. He thinks different. He moves different. He is different than just your typical person, Father, and you have touched him in a way that others can't understand. So, Father, as he moves, continue to talk with him and direct his path. Give him clarity, Father, and then open up the ears, the eyes, the minds of those that you've called him to touch. And, Father, deliver your word and your way through him for them as well. We thank you and praise you, Father, because there is no mistake in you. There's no variance. There's no oops. You know exactly how all of the components work. It's like we're a watch with springs and sprockets and gears and windy things and all of that. And everything is in its perfect place as you have placed it. And a sprocket can't tell a spring what it's supposed to do, because a sprocket is a sprocket. So, Father, allow us to know our role in you and to move in that role so that we keep the timing. We keep your divine timing in all that we do. We thank you and praise you, Father, for Dr. Viva. And we ask that as she is moving, that you continue to do that healing work. She talked about the closeness that she had with her father and that feeling of abandonment when her father passed on. And Father, we know that fathers actually represent you in our lives. And when things happen where our fathers are concerned, it can have an impact and a shaking on how we view you. So Father, I know that Dr. Viva was an example of a prayer that needs to be prayed in relation to all of those who have experienced that loss for whatever reason, whether it is a death or walking away, or rejection, whatever that is, Father, we ask right now in this prayer that you touch hearts and minds and lives, and you give the true representation of who you are so that folks can know that even though our earthly fathers are not you, they're not perfect, they do stand in a representation of you. And I call fathers, you know, to that alignment, that we have a nation and a world that seeks the alignment. The fathers seek the alignment with you so that we can operate in a place of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and execution on the things that you have called us to do. So, Father, I cover Dr. Viva with prayer right now that you continue doing that healing work, healing her heart, healing her mind, giving her perspective and understanding of the what's and the whys and all of the things that need to take place in order to set things back in order. Glorify and magnify you, Father, for all that you do and for your divine appointment in our lives. Father, I ask right now that you give clarity to Patricia. You know what it is that she is dealing with, what she's going through. You know where you need to step in. And Father, you know where you need to cover her heart and to course correct where she's concerned. So Father, we ask right now as we pray that your perfect will be done, be birthed, and exude from her. Correct all the crooked paths, Father. Restore what it is that you've called into restoration. Give clarity and peace and an evenness to her spirit. Cover her family. Mend what needs to be mended, Father. Secure what needs to be secured. Father, we ask that her husband, whatever's going on with him health-wise, that you touch his life, that your perfect will be done in his life as well. And Father, wherever there is that space where you need to speak with him to align him with you, Father, we ask that you do that. Wherever there is that space where you need to speak with Patricia and align her with you, we ask that you do that. Father, we ask that you become that center point of her whole family, that they all look to you and seek to do your will. When we do that, you always know how to bind everything together the way it's supposed to be. So we thank you and praise you for that, Father. Give her the wisdom and give her the heart, give her the love to be able to do that. Give her the exposure to what your love is so she can be comfortable and rest in that. We thank you for your joy in her life. We thank you for open doors, opportunities. We thank you for abundance and prosperity. And we thank you for the wisdom on how to wield that. We thank you for the wisdom on how to move in a way that represents you and that draws people to you, your kingdom, and expands your kingdom. Father, we thank you and praise for Lynette and Zakethia and Danny and John and Stacy and Chanel and Letitia and Michelle and Tanika. We thank you for their lives and their presence here. And Father, you know what each and every one of them has prayed for. You know what they're standing on. Father, you know what they don't believe, what they're skeptical of. And that's good too. We ask that as you are moving in these lives and these hearts, that you take them to a place in you that is safe for them to then look at what they have, look at the data of the life, and then you put it together in the configuration that brings understanding to everything that's been experienced, all the hurts, all the joys, all the ups, the downs, the in-betweens, Father, bring that clarity so they can see how each one of these things is the ingredient that was necessary to bring them to the manifestation of who you called them to be. We all go through everything and nothing is wasted in you. We thank you and praise you, Father, because there is no waste in you, that you redeem the time for each one of your children here. Speak to our hearts, Father, in a way that settles us. From this day forward, Father, I ask that you just work with us, continue to drill deep in us, continue to establish us. We're in the season where we're working on the roots to spread those roots down and deep and wide into the earth, the soil, into the foundation of you. So that when it's time to spring forth with the branches and the leaves and the fruit, we have garnered enough of your substance in order to do that. So allow us this time, Father, that we are not extroverting ourselves, but we are introverting in you and going deep to know who we are in you, to move in that surety and that power, dominion, Father, in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. All right. So I think that we are at the end of the call today. I'm going to do a round robin. If anybody has anything that you'd like to share before we end the room today, the mic is yours. We'll start with Patricia and then move all the way back, all the way up to the top. And then we will close the room out. If anybody wants to pop up on stage, you are more than welcome. Just raise your hand and I will send you an invite. So we'll start with you, Patricia. What you got, sis? Okay, if you're talking, you may be in a bad area because we can't hear you. Okay, you may have to pop out and pop back in. Okay, good stuff. I'm seeing it flickering. Okay, that may be a clap. Okay, good stuff. All right, Dr. Viva, what you got? Any last words? All right, Jason, any last words? Okay, Stacy, any last words?
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Jason, for the powerful prayer and for the powerful message. I praise God for this place of dominion that we are in this room right now. And I pray that we take that with us and activate it and keep it with us. And like you said, it's not about how we feel, it's the process, and God is with us in and through it all. So we thank you for allowing God to use you in such an amazing way. God bless you. I yield my mic.
All right, Baruch Hashem. Okay, good stuff. Let's see. And Michelle Davis says, good morning, my brothers and sisters. I request prayer for myself as I take the next best appropriate steps that I continue to move in God's direction, which brings full praise of our God. Amen. Well, see, Michelle, just pray that. So glory be to God. All right. And so I think our sister, Dr. Stacy, is in the thick of what she's doing. Sis, are you there or... Okay, she's probably in the thick of what she's doing. So, all right. All right, y'all. So if you've not yet visited the Faithpreneur site, pop on up to it. It's at the link at the top. And let me tell you, there's so much movement going on behind the scenes. And you know, this is all about expanding the kingdom. What do we do to move the kingdom and to create the space, excuse me, or to allow God to use us to open more doors. We are his ambassadors, which means that we represent him and not us. So wherever it is that God needs to liberate souls and hearts and minds and all that, he places his children. So keep that in mind. Whatever places that you are, wherever you are, whatever jobs you have or don't have, wherever it is that you're being moved, just think of this as this is a giant chessboard that we are on, and we are merely the pieces that God moves at specific times in order to do specific things. So wherever you find yourself, as you are operating in the will of God, the will of your Father, understand that your steps are ordered. When I got that down, it really helped me to not be anxious, understanding that he's got it in control. He tells me what to pray when it's time to pray. He tells you what to pray when it's time to pray as well. And if you're not getting the memo, just spend a little bit more time with him. You'll get the memo. You'll understand it. You know, put a fleece before him and say, okay, Father, I don't know how to hear your voice. So can you teach me? Because the thing is that when we do ask him, he's not a cruel dad. He's not going to keep himself from you when you ask him. And the way that he shows up for you is going to be different than how he shows up for somebody else. And that's okay. So just understand, if you are sincerely asking him, hey, Father, I don't know how to hear your voice. And I really want to know that you are telling me what you're telling me. So can you clarify for me? That used to freak me out earlier on. You know, I used to be around my friends and it was like, man, they just seem like they pray and they just, you know, God is just talking to them. I have no clue when he's talking. So I was like, so please help me, Father, because I don't know when you're talking or not. And over time, things settled. And I began to hear him. And it's different. It's not like the skies parted. It's just a knowing. You know, and the more you get with him, the more you just open up and let him do his thing. I never know what it is that he's going to have me pray. And I frankly don't care. And I don't think that any of us should care. It's none of our business, whatever God has us do when he's having us do what he does. Okay. So understand that the freer you are when you remove your agenda, sometimes the agenda is you don't want to not look good. Get out of that. Here's what you look like. Just do what God has given you to do. You know, every baby toddles when they start to walk. Okay? Understand that. We go through stages. And as we continue in the work, continue in his way and his will, we get stronger and we go from baby to toddler and then toddler to child. And then before you know it, we're running, jumping, climbing trees and doing a whole bunch of other stuff. It's about growth and strengthening capacity and alignment and confidence in him that he's not going to let you fall. Okay. Unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, you know, I'll look at it like this. Fortunately, we have had experiences that tell us that we can't really just delve out trust. The experience also teaches us that he's the only one we can trust. So if we can gain the confidence that he's not going to leave us or forsake us, then we can move in liberation in him. And it's like, look, if I get it wrong, I get it wrong. He's going to get me right. And that's all right. So I just want to give you that shot of confidence that if you have found yourself like, ooh, I can't go and talk in front of people. I can't go and pray in front of people. I can't go and prophesy, whatever that is. You get better as you stay with him. Okay. I used to not want to be on, not that I didn't want to be on the prayer call. I used to not want to pray on the prayer call. When I first started, I'm like, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to say here. So just trust. God knows what he's doing. Just keep on showing up and trusting him to do what he's doing in your life. The fact that you're here and the fact that you're even thinking about him means that there's some spark in there that he's kindled. So allow him to continue to do the work. Just keep on showing up. Trust and believe you will get really confident in him. And then it's not going to phase you at all anymore. Okay. So I just want to encourage you like that, because I know that other people have gone through what it is that I've experienced. Okay. All right, y'all. Love you. And next week, God willing, we'll be back here, you know, doing this all over again. And you know what? Next week, let's seek out God this week so that next week when you get on stage or you get in chat, you can talk about all the great things that God has done in, through you, for you, because of you, all of that. And that could be something as simple as, you know what? I used to struggle waking up in the morning. I used to struggle wanting to go through the day. And this past week, wow, I really felt like my life was moving intentionally. Like I did not dread opening my eyes and moving into work because I know that I'm going into work now
as an ambassador. I'm going in to represent him. So as things come up, I know that he's there to address those things. And so I feel different and I'm moving different. I mean, there are so many things that we think are small things, but they're major things. When God makes those incremental micro shifts in us, it's like, you know, when he says that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it'll do that. Well, why is that? Because faith is an absolute thing. Any one of God's gifts, whether you have a little or a lot, it's going to do its job because God is uncontainable. You can't contain him. So when you speak something out of faith that he gave you, it automatically happens. There's nothing that can stop it. So just keep that in mind, okay? Just want to hear some really good praise reports next week. All right, y'all. So on that note, the room is going to end in, remember, visit the site, faithpreneurweekend.com. Room's going to end in 5, 4, 3, 2. And for all of you, understanding Yom Kippur is coming up. And then Sukkot. Ooh, I'm so excited about Sukkot. You guys get on in there. God's got some things in his seasons. Check out the feasts and the festivals. It's all throughout the scriptures. There is blessings in what he's given us to do in these different seasons. And we don't have to focus on taking back the stuff, you know, the pagan holidays for the Lord when he's given us his feasts and festivals. Okay, let's start with that. Okay, not getting too preachy up here, but when you dig into it, there is so many blessings and connections, alignment that you would not believe. It's amazing. So check it out. Just look at the scriptures. It's all throughout there. We are moving into Sukkot. We're coming into Yom Kippur, Yom Teruah. It's some amazing stuff that happens during this time. Deep work, strengthening like you would not believe. God's promises, his blessings flow. It's just awesome. Sukkot is when he tabernacles with us. It's when his presence is here and he's like, look, I'm coming for you. Come on, let's do it. So just understand there's so many blessings in this season, y'all. So many blessings. All right. So on that note, love y'all. Room is going to end in 5, 4, 3, 2. See y'all later.
Thank you for tuning in to the Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call Podcast. We hope that you continue to listen and share this with anyone you think would be blessed by the fellowship. Sign up to participate on our live Saturday calls at www.vipprayercall.com. That's vipprayercall.com. This is Dr. Stacy signing off and hope to connect with you again soon. Bye for now.